Praise the Lord. If you didn't enjoy that, your blessers busted. Oh, that was good. I appreciate that. Gary's did a fine job this week. The music has been outstanding. We thank you for making the revival a great success. It's been a sweet revival. It really has. It hadn't been because of me. It's been mainly because of the Lord. And second, because of you. And third, it's just been an honor for me to be here. It's a joy to be around your pastor. I love and appreciate him, don't you? He and Brother Sandy, I tell you, they're a couple. I don't know how in the world y'all put up with Sandy. I know I heard when he joined the church, he and the preacher both are quite a fisherman, you know. They fish a lot. And they went out fishing. Had that little boat and motor, and the motor fell off and went in the water. Fell off the boat. The preacher said, "What are we going to do?" Sandy said, "Well, preacher, I'll just dive down there and get it." So Sandy, he jumped out of that boat, got down. Man, he stayed down there a long time. Preacher got worried about it. And he looked down through that water, and old Sandy was down there pulling that like that, you know. And preacher looked down at him, and he said, "Stupid, choke it." That's Sandy. That's your pastor and Sandy, amen. I love and appreciate your preacher. I really do. I want to speak to you today and kindly fit in a little bit of my life story in the message, but I want to bring a message today on the sweetest word in the Bible. You heard the song on the sweetest name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Luther Bridges wrote that song under a lot of dark valleys. His whole family had been snuffed out in a fire. He went home and wrote that song, Jesus. It's not the name. What is the name of that? You just sang it. Sweetest name I know. He keeps me singing. He wrote that song on the sweetest name is Jesus. But what is the sweetest word in the Bible? If you would turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11, and let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to Thee again today as a needy people. Lord, we've enjoyed the week and it's been blessings. And Lord, we cannot live on the past, on the blessings, but we can rejoice over what's happened. But dear Lord, I'm not asking this morning. I'm begging that You'll meet every need in every heart and every life today. Don't let anybody leave this building unprepared to meet You. I pray You'll put a hush on the crowd. And Lord, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost will take control of this service. And I pray the Holy Spirit will go up and down the aisles and the pews and speak to mamas and daddies and boys and girls. And may Jesus be lifted up today. We'll thank You and praise You in Your precious and wonderful and glorious and holy and righteous name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, reading in verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The sweetest word in the Bible is come. Without the word come, you wouldn't be here this morning. Without the word come, nothing would ever happen. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew would have never left tax collecting had not been for the word come. Peter would have never walked on the water when Jesus said, "Come." And Peter stepped out and began to walk. And Jesus began to walk. But he would have never stepped out and walked on the water had not been for the word care. Lazarus would have never come out of the grave had not been for the word care. John would have never gone up to heaven had not been for the word care. And you think about it this morning. Thousands across America this morning are going to be singing the invitation song. Just as I am without one plead, O Lamb of God, I come. That word come, Jesus used that word because it had such meaning to it. First of all, I want you to notice the person who makes the invitation. The person who makes the invitation. When he said, come unto me all you that labor. The invitation was not to come to the preacher. The invitation was not to come to the Pope. The invitation was not to come to the church. The invitation was come unto me. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want you to notice, first of all, come unto me, the moment in John 1:11 and 12. Notice if you would, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But as many as receive him, I heard that call many times. Carl, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Started out a 13-year-old boy. Started out with a man giving me alcohol and coke and mixing together. Gradually would take the coke out. I became an alcoholic at the age of 15. Sin already had a hold on my life. And I believe the first time I heard that word inside my heart, Carl, why don't you come? I think the first time I ever heard that call as a 13-year-old boy, when my brother had asked me to go over and I was cleaning up the pool hall, and he asked me to go check this fire, the big old potbelly coal stove. And I went over and opened the door, and there was no blaze, and I threw some coal and fuel oil in. I closed the door a little while later. He said, son, go check the fire. I went back over, and pressure had built up in the stove. And when I opened the door, it blew up in my face and caught my clothes on fire. My body was burnt. My face was burnt. The hair practically off of my head. Took me home and laid me on a couch, just country people, 18 miles from a hospital or a doctor. I heard that cry, Pastor. I heard that call. Carl, why don't you come? Why don't you come? I didn't listen to that. I didn't listen to the call. I kept putting off and putting off and putting off. And I heard that call time and time again. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and drink. In John 7:37, he said, come and drink with me. He said in Revelation 22 and verse 17, come and dine. Come and dine. Aren't you glad in John 1:12 when he said first in verse 11, he came into his own and his own received him not. But verse 12, aren't you glad that included the Jew and the Gentile? The first verse in verse 11 included the Jews. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But thank God he put verse 12 in there that included the Jew and the Gentile. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the person who makes the invitation is the Lord. And second, the people who are invited. The people who are invited. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Aren't you glad that the invitation is given to everybody? Don't make any difference how rich, how poor, how educated, uneducated, how ugly, how pretty. Thank God the invitation is to all that come unto me. If you'd have had to be rich to go come unto the Lord, I'd have gone to hell.
We were poor people. If I'd have had to be rich to be saved and get to heaven, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. If you'd had to have an education, I'd have gone to hell, because I had to go to public school and Bible school same time. If you'd have had to be good looking to go to heaven, then Sandy'd have gone to hell. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that all that come unto me? Amen? You can say amen to that. First of all, he said, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He was talking to those that were burdened with religion. Burdened in religion. Religion demands more than you can give. Religion demands do this and don't do that. Don't do this and do that. That's religion. They were burdened down with religion on their good works of trying to do this and do that in order to make it. And they were burdened down with sin, the guilty of carrying their sin. I want to tell you something, that guilty conscience will eat you up. It'll eat you up. I want to tell you, when you're living in sin and it's a hidden sin, it'll eat you up. You know what I'm talking about. You come to church and got a smile on your face and criticize a pastor, criticize the work here. You know what I'm talking about. You hear a message on doing things and you leave here being critical. You know what I'm talking about. And you get that guilty conscience. You know it's wrong to do those things. It's wrong to be critical. It's wrong to do those things. And that old guilty conscience will eat you up. And they were carrying it. They were carrying that burden of religion, that burden of a guilty conscience, and they didn't know what to do. It'll eat you up like cancer. It's like the two men made the trip to the moon. And on that journey, they took a dog with them. A true story. And the dog died. They opened the hatch and threw that dog out. And because of no gravity, the dog went out and hung on the window and would not fall because of no gravity. And that dog hung on all the way through the trip. That's what sin will do to you. It'll hang on to you like a dead dog with no gravity. And you'll hang on and hang on and hang on. And it'll kill you. That guilty conscience. That's what they were carrying. They were carrying the burden of trying to do better. Trying to do better to stop this and stop that. I don't know how many times I was carrying that. You've heard my life story. I tried to quit drinking. I tried to quit drugs. I was popping 6 shots of morphine a day. 1/5 of alcohol by 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how many times I'd turn over a new leaf. And I'd say, well, this is it. And I want you to know I couldn't get better. I'm not against AA. I was AA for 9 years. But AA didn't deliver me. Jesus Christ did. But I had that burden hanging on me. I had that burden of trying to do better. Oh, I tried. It was a religion. It was a religion. I wanted to straighten up. I wanted to quit popping the pills. I wanted to quit drinking the alcohol. And I got worse and worse and worse. I was trying to get better. And I wound up getting worse. In and out of hospitals and jails. Wound up in the federal pen. Can you hear me? Oh, you say there's nothing wrong with just a little shot. That's how I started out. That's how I started out. Just a little shot and wound up an alcoholic and a drug addict. I'm not proud of any of that. Tried to kill my wife. Tried to kill a Baptist preacher. Sorry, rotten, no hell, deserving hellbound sinner. But listen to me this morning. I had a religion. I had a religion. And I like what the preacher said this morning. it takes as much grace to save you as it did me. But I want to tell you young men and young ladies this morning, and you other people here this morning, and you're trying to get better and you keep trying and trying and trying, I want to give you a report this morning, you're going to get worse. That is a religion. Don't bow your head. I'm shooting straight to you, man. You just like I was. I heard my mama talk to me. Other people talk to me. I'd say, oh, don't push that junk on me. That religion's not for me. I was the one who had the religion. She had salvation. I was the one who had religion, trying to quit drinking and trying to quit popping the pill and trying to do this or that. That's a religion. Thank you. Somebody says, are you religious? No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist, not a denomination. Thank you. Just threw that out there, amen? Baptist is not a denomination. Just threw that out there for good measure. Trying and trying, I kept trying to get better. I said, oh, this is it. I'm going to quit. I'm going to straighten up. But ladies and gentlemen, I was like a dog hanging on that wing. It had a hold on me. It was a religion. That's what these people had. And look what Jesus said. Why don't you come unto me? Why don't you come unto me that are laboring and heavy laden? I will give you rest. Why don't you take my yoke upon you and learn of me? What an invitation. What an invitation. Now I want you to notice the purpose of the invitation. First of all, I want you to notice, if you would, first of all, the person who makes the invitation, and second, the people who are invited to the invitation, and third, the purpose of the invitation. What was the purpose of the invitation? Get it again if you would. Man, it's easy to read a verse and not get it. We read so fast. I like that Bible he's got. I got to see that. I'm a slow reader. If that'll help you 65%, I want two of them. Read one in a while and this another in a while. Amen? I'm a slow reader. My wife can read three books while I'm reading one. I'm a slow reader. Sandy, you're not a slow reader. You just can't read, so you need to get four of them, amen? Come on. I pick on him all the time. He got to love me. Amen, as much as I pick on him. Notice these verses again now. It's easy to read it fast. Let's be a slow reader this morning. Come unto me. Brother Bob, look at that. Oh! Ye that are labor and are heavy laden. And I, look at that, will, positive. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's positive. I will give you rest. Take. I like that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I like this, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall, positive, find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What the Lord is saying to you here this morning, I don't care how many problems you have, I'll take care of them. I don't care how many you got, I'll take care of them. First of all, the purpose of the invitation was to give rest. To give rest, find rest, a provision for rest. Listen to me, you cannot find rest in pleasure. You cannot find rest in popularity. You cannot find rest in politics. You cannot find rest in church membership. You cannot find rest except in Him. You don't get rest through the church. You don't get rest through baptism. He didn't say, come unto me and get baptized, you'll get rest. He didn't say, come unto me and join the church, you get rest. He just said, come unto me. And I will give you rest. First of all, the purpose is to give rest. And second, for those that labor. For those that labor. And I like that third one, don't you? And learn of me. And learn of me. You know what the Lord wants you to do? That's the purpose of reading the Word of God. How do you talk to the Lord? In prayer. How does He talk to you? Through the book. You that never pray and never read this book, the communication is pretty bad. I hear people say, I read through the Bible once a year. My wife and I read through this book 8 times a year. My family, when they were home, we read through this book 8 times a year. Can you all hear me all right? I try to spend at least 1.5 to 2 hours in prayer during the day. I've got a lot to talk to Him about. That's how I talk to Him. I don't just get down and say, Heavenly Father. Just like I talk to Brother Gene, I say, Dear Lord, I want to take a few minutes to talk to you here today. Last night, somebody said, you got to be on your knees. I enjoy laying in bed praying. You can drive down the street and pray. You don't have to close your eyes. Picked a hitchhiker up one time, the other fellow and I, and he got in the back seat and he was unsaved, and I was reaching over showing him how to get saved. And I'd already gone through the plan, showed him how to get saved, and I said, let's bow our head. He looked over to the driver and he ain't going to bow his, is he? I said, no. He was scared to death, amen. He said, I want you to come and find rest, you that are in labor. And he said, learn of me. I want you to learn about me. I want you to know all about me. Jesus wants you to know all about Him this morning. You know, I have grown to love your preacher more than the first time I met him. When I first met your pastor, I just met him. Now I've really learned some things about him. You know, I'm thankful this morning. You know, it's one thing to know about somebody and another thing to really learn about somebody. You see, I knew where he stood on a lot of things, but a lot of things I didn't know really where he stood. And we've had some good, this has been a good week, Pastor. I don't know of one thing. I don't know of one thing he and I disagree on. I really don't. We're both against so many things we don't know what we're for. But you know what? I've learned him. I learned his wife. Listen to me this morning, Jesus said, come and just learn of me. Pastor's wife was teaching. I sat out in the vestibule and listened to her. Boy, she's a great teacher. You ladies are fortunate to have her. You really are. I know some of you men, you say, I'd like to sit in there, but I know what the Bible teaches. I just sat out there and listened. Whether you like it or not. I enjoyed it. She's a good teacher. How many of you ladies sit in her class? If you didn't learn anything this morning, you're in trouble. Buddy, she made it clear. She even had it on the screen. Amen? Where you could see it. What's she trying to do? She's trying to get you to learn of Jesus. I'm getting to know you. I'm learning you. Sandy, I'm beginning to learn you. Now, I've known Sandy a long time, known the pastor, but this week I've really got to learn the pastor. And when you walk with somebody and you talk with somebody, you begin to learn about them. You know what Jesus wants you to do? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why? Why do you want me to come? He said, I want you to come because you need rest. I want you to come unto me because you've been laboring on the do's and the don'ts, and I want you to come and just learn of me. What an invitation, folks. We sang about him, but have you really learned Jesus? I'll hurry. What's he want? He wants you to yoke up. Amen? Look at, I like this. Boy, I enjoy the word of God, don't you? He said, My yoke is easy. Now, first of all, he said, I want you to learn of me. And he said, for my yoke is easy. My burden's light. He wants you to yoke up with him. He wants you to yoke up if you've been saved. He wants you to yoke up for baptism. If you hear this one, you've been saved and you haven't been baptized, you are a backslider. According to the Word of God, you're not right with God. Why? You're a disobedient child. If the pastor and his wife comes to our home and we're sitting there visiting and they're sitting here and we're sitting here, my wife and I are sitting here, and my children are little children, say they're eight years old. They walk in between us and they look at the preacher. Huh? You think I'm proud of them? You think I'm proud of them? No. They're disobedient children. I was in a church here the other week and a little boy came up to me. Hey, Carl. Where's your parents? I took that little boy to their parents and I said, your little boy, call me Carl. He said, isn't that cute? There's a boy that's headed for trouble, and mom and daddy are helping him. Buddy, my children would have never addressed anybody by their first name. Now, if the pastor and his wife are visiting with us, my wife and I are sitting here, and they're sitting over here, and my children walk in front. If there's no way for them to go around, in other words, they'd go around some other way. Only way could get back in the kitchen to go between us, and they look over and say, excuse me. Excuse me. Boy, I'm sitting there like that, man. Them buttons are coming off. But before they went by, boy, I'm sitting there going like that. But when they went by, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm saying inside, those are my children. That's the way Jesus is. Some of you have been saved, never been baptized, and he's saying, you come down and say, he's saying, come and yoke up with me for baptism. And he says, that's my children. That's my children. He wants to yoke you to yoke up for baptism. He wants you to yoke up for church membership. You say, I've been praying about joining this church. You find a good church, Word of God is preached, a soul-winning separation church, and you got to pray for 6 months to join? That don't make sense. That don't make sense. I've had preachers say, Brother Hatch, I'd like to have you, and I'm going to pray about having you. I got news. If you want a soul-winning evangelist, you better get him when you can get him. You don't have to pray about it. Now, if you're just going to have a preacher come there and tickle your ears for a few nights, you better pray about that. But if you can get anybody in here that'll stir your people from soul, you better get them when you can get them. I told Ken, his wife, where y'all at, Carol? Where y'all sitting back there? When I was here the last time, the meeting, they came out to hear me. They'd read it in the paper or something. I said, where y'all going to church? And I don't remember where they was going, just here and there, I guess. I said, good night. You don't have to look any farther. This is it. Y'all don't even have to pray about it. Just come on in here. First of all, if you know I'm here, it's a good church. I wouldn't be here.
I got news for you. If he didn't believe like I believed, I wouldn't be here. And if we didn't believe alike, he wouldn't have me. It's a two-way street. Thank you. I told Ken, I said to that sweet family there, and listen, buddy, I'm going to tell you, I love them. What are you doing not? If you don't love them, don't tell me. They're a good family. God, they come from a good breed. They come from a great horse racer. Hey, man, he didn't race horses, but he's a good man. I said, get on in here. They came in and they yoked up with this church. And if you'll ask them this morning, they're glad that I encouraged them to come in and yoke up in membership. Am I right, Brother Ken? Put $200 in this morning. I don't know what he put in. He wants you to yoke up in baptism, yoke up in membership, yoke up in tithing. Now listen to me. Is it right to tithe? Somebody say amen. How many believes the Bible? Do you seriously? Are you a fundamentalist? You know what that word fundamentalist means? You know what it means? It means we believe the Bible from cover to cover. We can believe the cover's holy. Amen. Now the Bible said in Malachi 3, 9, and 10, will a man rob God? When have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. Don't get mad at me now. I'm giving you the book. That's all I preach is the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? I didn't spend 20 minutes telling jokes this morning. I'm preaching a book. Thank you. You don't tithe? Gonna hit you now. You're not right with God. You are a backslider. Huh? Goes right back to my children walking in front of somebody and putting their tongue out at them. It breaks my heart. That's all right. Boys laugh. It is funny. Amen. Breaks my heart. But when they go by and say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, and bow a little bit, I'm tickled. When the offering plate goes by and you throw a dollar in there, feel like you're doing God a favor? Y'all still love me? I'm serious. Do you still love me? Okay, I'm just getting down where you live. Offering plate goes by, and you made a good week this week, $300 or $400 or whatever. And you throw a buck in there. Sometimes you wrap a quarter in a dollar bill, make it look good. Thank you. You know what the Lord says? You know what he's saying? But when you go out here and you have, say you make $300, you say, man, I'm going to put $30 in there. That's my tithe. You ain't give nothing yet. You owe that. You hear me? You throw that in there and he said, that's for children. Am I telling the truth? My son got right and started tithing. Worked in the oil field. Man, he made about $300. And he put the $30 in there. Boy, he put it in. God blessed him. He made $1,000. And he put his tithe in. Man, he made $2,000 a week. Man, I ain't gonna put no $200 in. Whew, Lord, no. And he held back and the Lord said, ooh. Now listen to me. Whether you believe it or not, don't make me any difference. But every born-again child of God is a tither. You either tithe your way or God's way. Now, your way is a hospital, automobile wreck, or the morgue. And that's in the Bible, too. Acts 5 tells about a family that dropped dead in the church because they lied to God about the money. Thank you. Buried them back behind the church. Four of the men, I guess, deacons. Four of them carried them out in the back. Peter was their pastor. And Peter said, just take them out there and bury them. They didn't even have a message preached over their body. They didn't even, listen, the husband and wife didn't even get to kiss each other on a cold face. One was dead and the other didn't even know it. He lied because he lied. She said, well, I'll lie because he lied. They already made it up before they left home. Filled out their envelope. That's when the envelope system started. Amen. Amen. My son making good money. He was out one day in the oil field, and a man dropped a great big old wrench and hit a board, slapped him up against the face, and lacked to kill him. He was off for weeks. He went back to work, and he's throwing that chain around, had a pair of gloves on, throwing that chain around and hooked his glove, one of the fingers of his glove, in that chain, and he couldn't get his hand out. Like cut his finger off, it was just hanging down here. It's like that. Had to rush him, had to hold his finger like this. Had to hold his finger, and they took him to the hospital. They sewed his finger back on. And today, Brother Bobby's in pain all the time because of that finger. And I said, son, let me ask you something. He said, Daddy, I don't understand it. Let me ask you something. Have you been cheating on God? Boy, some of you, I can read you like a book. Don't bow your head yet. Have you been lying to God about your money? You hadn't been tithing, have you? No, I hadn't, Daddy. Let's figure out how much you've lost since you've been off. And we figured up how much he lost. We figured up how much he would have made if he was working and he didn't. And we got to figuring up what his doctor bill was because the insurance didn't cover everything. And he triple tithed. You know what God called you? A fool. I know unsaved people at times. Got more sense than a lot of Christians. I better get off that. Whew, thank God. He wants you to join up in baptism, join up in membership, join up in tithing, and join up in soul winning. He said, I want you to learn to me about all this. The purpose of the invitation, the last. Number one's to rest. Number two's to labor. Number three, to learn. And number four, to give. I will give you rest. What is your responsibility? Come. You're here this morning because the invitation was to come. You couldn't be saved without the word come. You couldn't do anything without the word come. The sweetest word in the Bible is come. What an invitation, Brother Gary. What an invitation. And I heard that call time and time again. Carl, why don't you come? Isaiah 1:18, listen to me now. The last verse I heard before I got saved. I heard that preacher get up there and preach, and boy, he began to cut me down. And he began to preach on Isaiah 1:18. Come now, come now, and let us reason together. Come and just let me reason with you. That's all I ask you to do. Just come and let me reason. Listen, the Lord makes it so easy that a little boy can understand it. If you're old enough to believe in Santa Claus, you're old enough to believe in Jesus. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sin be as cold, that they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He wants you to join up. He wants you to be saved, Daddy. He wants you to be saved, Mama.
He wants you to be saved, teenager. He wants you to be saved, little boy, little girl. If you'll just come, he'll transform you. If you'll just come, he'll give you rest. If you'll just come, he'll give you peace. If you'll just come this morning, he'll give you what you want. I want to close. A true story. I've told it here, I think, twice, but let me tell it again because it means so much to me. Back home, I used to play, and I was there. And I used to play in the old San Francis River. And a mother was there swimming with her little girl, I think about 7 years of age. And the mother got in one of those currents, and it was pulling her down and out. And she'd gone under the first time, and the little girl was wading out. And mama was telling her, honey, go back. Your mama's drowning. And your mama's drowning. Go back. And she went under the first time. She came up and the current pulling her out and down. And she was going under the second time. And the little girl waiting out, mommy, mommy, I want to save you. Mommy, I want to save you. And she went under the second time. And she came up and the current was pulling her on out into the deep and pulling her down. And the little girl was waiting out crying, mommy, mommy, mommy. And she said, honey, go back. Go back, go back. Your mama's drowning. Go back. And pushed her back. She went under the third and final time. And a few days later, daddy took that little girl to the funeral home and lifted her up. And she looked in the face of her mommy. And a little tear running down her face. And she said, mommy, I wanted to save you, but you wouldn't let me. He wants to save you if you let him. He wants you to join up with him if you let him. Will you let him? Will you let him? Let's bow our head, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, please. No one looking around, please. They're coming in just a moment to sing the invitation song. And mama, daddy, teenager, boy, girl, no one looking around. I want to pray for you. How many here this morning would say, Brother Hatch, I'll be honest with you. Brother Hatch, if I could go to heaven and know it, I would like to know it. Would you mind breathing a prayer for me? Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up and let me pray for you. Slip your hand up. Mama, daddy, boy, girl, teenager, whoever you are, just slip your hand up. Brother Hatch, I don't want to meet God. I don't want to meet God like I am. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Slip it up. Slip it up quickly and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Now back over to my right and your left, because I can't see all over. To my right and your left, how many of you, man, woman, boy, girl, would say, Brother Hatch, I've never been redeemed by the blood. I've never been born again. I don't want to meet God like I am. I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. To my right and your left, slip it up. Slip it up. Pray for me. Pray for me. Lift your hand. God bless you. How many others? And to my right and your left, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you in the back. In the center section. How many in the center section would say, Brother Hatch, I don't want to meet God like this. And I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up in the center section. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Thank you. Thank you. Now over on my left and your right. Over on my left and your right, lift your hand. Brother Hatch, I don't want to meet God like I am. Pray for me. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Christian, get a hold of God. Pray for me. My left and your right, slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Thank you. How many here this morning would say, I need to join up with him. I need to join up with him. Either for baptism, I've been saved, never been baptized. Or I don't tithe, or I don't witness. Or I need to join up with him for church membership. And I want you to pray with me about it. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. God bless you. How many others? Lift your hand. God bless you. How many others? Now listen to me. Thank you. God bless you. Now don't lift your hand to this. Please don't, unless you know it. Please don't. How many here this morning could say, Brother Hatch, I'm saved.
I've been born again. I've joined up with him. I know it. And I'm happy. I'm excited about it. Let's see your hand. If you've been born again, hold your hand. Don't hold it up unless you know it. Don't hold it up unless you know it. Don't do it. Thank you. Put them down. How many of you could not lift your hand, but you'll be lady enough, gentleman enough now to just slip it up and say, pray for me. I couldn't lift my hand. Lift it up now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Slip it up now. Slip it up now. God bless you. God bless you. How many others? How many here are not a member of this church, but you've been thinking about it? Let's see your hand. Not a member, but I've been thinking about it. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God gives you three homes. The home of your resident where you feed your body. The home of the faith, your church, and your future home, heaven. God expects you to be in a good soul-winning church. He wants you to join, ma'am. And the devil does too, but he says don't do it this morning. The devil's saying join, but don't do it this morning. The devil's saying get saved, but don't do it this morning. The devil's saying start tithing, but don't do it this morning. The devil's saying get baptized, but don't do it this morning. Don't do it this morning. I want every one of you that lifted your hand, you that did not but should have. Listen to me now. You that lifted your hand, you that did not but should have. Won't you look up here at me? Look up here at me. Look up here at me. You that lifted your hand, you that did not but should have. Young lady, keep your eye on me. Young lady, keep your eye on me. Way back in the back, in the center section. If you lifted your hand or you did not but you should have, look up here at me. Look up here at me. Look up here at me. Over on my left. Over on my left. Now there's so many, I can't see everybody. I want you that lifted your hand and you that did not but should have, I want you to stand. I want to talk to you. Stand up, young lady, right over here. Another young lady there, down here in the front, this dear lady down here. How many others? You lifted your hand, stand to your feet.